And we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm Jim Powers. And, you know, two podcasts this week. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast I did with Jed Stugertz and Jason Comer, the great folks up at Lindenwood yesterday. You know, it was great talking to them about some of the exciting things and especially the jump to Division One that they're going through right now. And today, you know, let's follow up with another Lindenwood guy that knows everything about anything. And it's always great to have, you know, my good friend. And, you know, we have so much fun together on Fox 2 and everything, Earl Austin Jr. And Earl, I know Lindenwood's still near and dear to your heart. And, you know, first off, the excitement level of them going to Division One, you know, for you as an alumni has to just be unbelievable.
Oh, it really is. God, I would have never guessed when I was there 40 years ago that, you know, we're playing our home games at St. Charles High School and other various high schools around the area, to when they built their own facility, and just to see the way the campus has grown over the course of the decades. And now when they went Division II, it was a major step. And then here a decade later, Division I's athletics, just can't wait. And obviously, you know, being a basketball player, that's going to be a lot of fun. But on the football side, to be the one Division One football program in the St. Louis area, I think that's a potential game changer, and very much looking forward to seeing that unfold.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that me and Jed had a chance to talk about, was just now, you know, being able to use that in your recruiting strategy here, you know, amongst the kids here in the St. Louis area. You know, they're getting a lot of kids already. He said that 70% of their football roster is made up of St. Louis kids, but now he said that the numbers of visits and everything has just exploded. And a lot of it has to do playing number one in the OVC. You're playing in a great FCS conference. And plus you get to stay close to home and play Division One football.
It's phenomenal. It really is. And not only, like you said, they're doing an excellent job recruiting St. Louis, but not only will you get kids, you know, obviously on the front end coming out of high school for 4 or 5 years, but an opportunity to get some, you know, with the portal, some maybe impact transfers from, you know, Division One, maybe a Power Five conference, and, you know, it just opens it up to everything. And it's, you know, we've talked about it over the years, how we've seen how St. Louis football in the high school level is just continued to mushroom with prospects going to all conference, all colleges all over the nation, even the pros and everything. And to see Lindenwood University in that mix, and like I said, in the past, Lindenwood has had a few pros of its own when they were in AIA as well. It's amazing. So they've had some success, but not see it at this level. So much potential.
No doubt about it. Well, let's talk about your summer before we jump into the football season. But, you know, every day I would get on Twitter and I would look up, you know, where in the world is Earl at this week? And you had a chance to see some outstanding basketball over the summer. Talk a little bit about your travels and, you know, about some of the local kids that you had a chance to see, you know, throughout the summer. And I know you followed the elite group that did such an unbelievable job with their 17U team. But, you know, kind of talk about what you saw this summer on the basketball side.
Well, like I said, covering both Prep Hoops Missouri and Prep Girls Hoops Missouri, I'm all over the state watching boys and girls basketball. And I really did a lot. Following the girls this year. And I think the highlight was the Feast of Collier Elite 17U team, that great team. And I think to be able to win a national championship on national television, to get that kind of exposure for the St. Louis area, Jordan Olofsson did a great job. It was a fantastic team, obviously. Natalie Potts from the Incarnate Word. And it was basically a lot of Incarnate Word players, three or four of those key players. Brooke Coffey, excellent player, Olivia Hahn, and then obviously the young lady from John Burroughs, point guard, a tremendous player, Allie Fisher. Fantastic team. And then they went to Florida and won another match tournament. So they were fun to watch. They did a nice job. And I think it was just good girls basketball all over. You know, Brad Beal Elite had a great team as well. Mm-hmm. Midwest United, led by George Merritt, had a great team. And there's just so many, it just showed so many good girls players around the area, different age groups coming up the rank. Phenom, obviously, the St. Louis Phenom, Missouri Phenom, they're all over the state. So got a chance to watch them all over throughout the summer. And then on the boys' side, Brad Beal Elite, strong team as well. They got to the Elite Eight of the Nike EYBL with a lot of similar, you know, BJ Ward of Chaminade, Duff of DeSmet, a couple of players on the team. And then Kennard Davis of Vashon was part of the Mokan Elites championship, the EYBL team, a very key player, for their best player from their championship team. So just some, you know, just a lot of talent is so spread out all over the St. Louis metro area. The Jets had some kids from St. Louis in the metro east area, Southwest Illinois Jets, Michael Porter Jr. Elite, good players from around St. Louis, different parts of the state. So it's busy, but just getting around and seeing a lot of different kids. And I think the recruiting is showing in the recruiting. They're getting Division One, Two, doesn't matter, scholarship offers. That's the main thing, getting exposure for these kids as well. And that's been a lot of fun to watch.
You know, let's go back to the girls real quick. And Natalie Potts, you know, earlier this summer, she, you know, verbaled to Nebraska. The both of us have had a chance to really see her and see her play. I'm starting to see a lot of the signs that she could be the next Nafisha. The way that she's going about her business, the way she's working hard and all that. Where do you put Natalie Potts before her senior year amongst some of the best that we've seen in the metro area?
She's up there with some of the best ones. I mean, there's so many great ones. Obviously, just the best at Incarnate Word. That means you're one of the best in the area. I think what sets Manly apart from a lot of people around the state is that her motor never stops. I mean, she goes 100% offense, defense. At 6'2" and just long and athletic, she'll play the top of your full court press, run the 94 feet, and then post up and score around the basket. She shoots three-pointers, she can handle the ball, and she just never stops. And I think when you play with that kind of energy at 6'2", almost 6'3", I mean, you're just going to get a lot of stuff done. Then on top of that, she's very talented and very skilled with the basketball and opportunity to the three-peat going out. You know, they've won a couple of state championships. They'll be probably a big favorite to do it again in Class 6. And obviously that class is – so she's one of the best. Obviously, I think Nafisa stands alone.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
That's and Tina Hutchinson from Eastside, Lincoln back in the 80s. But Natalie you know, Kristen Focal, probably those are, you know, but Natalie is you know, she's especially of recent vintage. Natalie is right there with the best of them.
Yeah, without a doubt. She's definitely putting herself into that conversation. And I've been saying that now for 2 years, and I can't wait to watch them play this year, try to keep that winning streak going, keep the state championship streak going and all that kind of great stuff. So summer's over. Here we go. Fall sports, bet football. Earl, when's the last time? Week one, and first off, I know you had to have been sitting home Friday night just absolutely beside yourself that you couldn't be out there because of some things you're got going on. But how insane was the week one scheduling and the games that we saw? I don't think I've seen a week one slate as stacked as we saw this past Friday night.
It's incredible, JP. First of all, you had two of our two best programs playing in that prestigious event in Canton, Freedom Bowl. And they bookend. It started off with CBC, obviously beating a great Milton, Georgia team. And then on the back end, you saw East St. Louis playing the toe-to-toe with St. Francis out of Baltimore team, which was so good. They had I think HBO showed what a 5-part documentary on that program. So they're one of the best. And I watched much of that game. That was hard-hitting, physical, low-scoring game that wasn't decided until the last minute. So all these sides on the back end of the front. 20-13 loss. They really acquitted themselves quite well in that game, and that just really sets it up nicely for their game this upcoming weekend. But as you said, those two, and then you come back to St. Louis, and Edwardsville High School goes down to the Boot Hill and beats Jackson. You know, winning Jackson. First of all, you don't beat Jackson, and then you don't really beat Jackson in Jackson. That does not happen. And then not only you don't beat Jackson in Jackson when you're down a couple of touchdowns.
I mean, they had the trifecta there because, you know, number one, and me and you have seen games down at the Pit. We know what the Pit's all about. And it is so incredibly tough to play down there. And for Edwardsville to hand Jackson their first home loss, I believe, in 5 years. And it was absolutely amazing. And once again, Edwardsville kind of said, okay, we're here. Don't forget about us in the Southwestern Conference, because we just knocked off one of the power teams in the state.
Yeah. And I think what served Edwardsville well is that, you know, every other year they go to Clyde T. Jordan Stadium on a Friday night and play at East St. Louis. They go to O'Fallon, you know, big time rivalries in the Southwestern Conference. So they've seen, experienced big time football. And so I think, they were coming off more of a 500 season. I mean, they probably weren't as starstruck as some teams, because, like I said, they go to East St. Louis and the East Side comes to them. They play them every year. And then they play in Illinois 8A, you know, usually they're of the Metro East team. They're usually always in the biggest class. So.
Right.
So I think that not only playing there, but coming, experiencing adversity within the game and coming back and winning that game in overtime was tremendous. And speaking of comebacks, I think the next one was obviously Vashon going to Kirkwood, you know. And, you know, Vashon was 9-2 and made the playoffs last year. So there are big expectations going into this season, made it to the quarterfinals last year. So they beefed up the schedule, and you go to Kirkwood and you're down 27-6 without an offensive touchdown in the fourth quarter. And then boom, 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 De'Aaron Hill hit the air, hits three touchdowns, and they pull off an incredible comeback and win 28-27. That's amazing.
You know, the one thing about Vashon, and Earl, me and you have talked about it many times, we both love the PHL. We think there's so many terrific athletes there. But on the football side of things, where they get stuck is because the PHL is not strong. Other than Vashon, Gateway, every now and then you get a Soldin team that's going to show some stuff. You know, they get stuck into playing that. And before Will took over and, you know, the crew over at Gateway, they really never figured out how to not, you know, schedule non-conference, because they'd get through district, they'd get to that first round, and you're running into a Park Hill Central. You're running into a Farmington. I love the fact that Will and Gateway and those guys are now figuring that piece out to get better and to get ready for a long run in the state tournament.
Absolutely. Like you said, you go to Kirkwood, a classic school of, you know, excellent program. Then go to Cardinal Ritter this Friday. They go to Fort Zumwalt North. And then, so those are excellent non-conference games to play, and all of them are on the road too as well. So, you know, just kind of get you ready as well. So that was a lot of fun. And then you go to St. Charles in week one, and then we've seen how the GAC has been good football, but it's just exploded in the last decade or so. Now you got teams going to the Show Me Bowl, making deep runs. And right out the shoot, obviously you got the Francis Howell Fort Zumwalt North opener, which they've staged some really good games. It's been Zumwalt North in recent years, but the last 2 years, Francis Howell has kind of dominated. But those are two strong programs. And then obviously Troy is making its move, being a Final Four last year. And they go to Winsfield, Holt, and win convincingly. And Holt, obviously, some tough graduation losses, but from a team that played for a championship and nearly beat Webb City. But it just shows, and those four teams all hooked up. But it just shows how the level has just continued to get better and better. And like I said, it's been good in St. Charles, but it's just now it's showing up. You know, teams are going to bowls, Show Me Bowls, making deep runs, and just very talented teams over there as well. And they got to be reckoned with at the big school.
I will take it to my grave that if Holt has Cooper Brown behind the center in that Webb City game, they win the state championship.
No question.
Off the Kings.
Oh yeah, he was that good.
Yeah.
A highlight of my fall last year, two of them, obviously the East St. Louis CBC game was, you know, that was classic. But week four, when Holt and Timberland met, 4-0, 9,000 people.
I'll still never forget, number one, the text message, and number two, the phone call. When you sent me that first text and said, you'll never believe the crowd out here. And then we talked after the game, after I got done with Fox 2 that night, and you just said it was unbelievable. It was one of the best crowds in St. Charles you've ever seen.
Ever seen. And this is, and I've been to a bunch of Howell games. And you go to a Howell Troy game, or Howell Zumwalt North, or Zumwalt North, Zumwalt South. These are big time games. Zumwalt West, when they were kicking, going strong, you know, big enormous crowds coming out to these games, big crowds, especially when the inter-district games playing each other. That was obviously in Wentzville District, and they're both good. Folks come out and drove those games, and that's exciting to see as well. And then St. Charles, obviously Lutheran St. Charles goes on the road, plays Denver. Lutheran comes away with a nice win as well. Live for Life and Duchesne, two nice small schools, play a nice game as well. Live for Life wins. So yeah, it was just a good week. Harrison, you know, MICDS goes to Harrisonville. You know,
yeah.
Freddie Bouchard takes his kids back to one of his homes, you know, schools, and comes away with a big non-conference win. So and you love to see that.
Yes.
Week one, just big name schools playing each other. And remember, back in the day, you didn't see that because of the point playoffs. They, you know, but now the way districts are, you know, you can play the best. You know, Smet going to in the absence of play a top Ohio team, you can schedule aggressively and see where you rank week one, week two, week three.
You know, and the one game you missed, how cool was it? The Battle of South City between SLU High and St. Mary's, yeah. Those guys hooking up. And, you know, and I think St. Mary's, you know, that's a signature win for them. We talk about, you know, a big win for Edwardsville, big win for CBC. But I think this was a signature win for Ken Turner and that crew. You know, you've got a you know, young quarterback. You're going into a hostile environment. You're playing against one of the top athletes. And I'm just not saying football, one of the top athletes in the state of Missouri and Ryan Wingo. And you pitch a shutout the last 27, 28 minutes of the game.
They've really made a bid. I mean, you could have made a case for St. Mary's, God, in, you know, on the Missouri side, probably CBC and probably St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a heck of a game last year. People will tell you, people know football better than I do. I ask, what if CBC played St. Mary's last year? Oh, Earl, that'd be a heck of a game. Oh. These are people in the football that know it more than me. I heard they were that good. You know, St. Mary's was that good.
Yeah, they were.
So the fact that they're following up, and obviously you lose some all world like Kevin Coleman, and but they're still loaded. And I guess they're class four this year. And,
yes.
And I think that was, like I say, when you want to follow up and show how good you are, you make a statement by beating a quality Metro Catholic Conference team handily like that. That's a big statement for the Dragons.
You know, and talking to Ken, you know, a couple weeks ago on the podcast here, he really thought they were going five. I mean, he really had an intuition that they were going to double them up and move them from three to five. I think they breathed a sigh of relief when they got bumped into four. But you look at class five.
I probably breathed a sigh of relief.
No, I don't think anybody in class five is breathing any sigh of relief. Let's see. You get Howell that bumps down the five.
Oh, that's a one.
There are the, and that's because Sekman moved up.
Sekman moved up
to
right.
Six, and the difference: Sekman and Hazelwood Central have the same enrollment. Howell is eight kids less than those two. And there is 31 and 32. So Howell is the most enrollment in class five. But okay, so class five, you got Howell. You've
yes.
got Jackson. You've
yes.
got MICDS, who moves from four to five.
Yes.
You've got Chaminade. You got Ladue. You got Eureka. Then you go down southwestern part of the state. You got Webb. You got Carthage. I don't care what class you are. If you win class five, you're the best team in the state of Missouri, hands down, all over the place, because class five is going to be an absolute meat grinder this year.
Right. I think you're the best in class five. I'm beat CBC.
They very well could.
You think? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But I think you make if you do that, you have really accomplished something this year. Obviously. Well, I think Howell moving down because I think Howell was thought of, even they were very good last year, they were thought of to be a year away.
Mm-hmm.
And like this was probably going to be, because they were very under, young last year, underclassmen dominated.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people look for them to be this, you know, they had to replace the quarterback and everything. But a lot of people I thought looked like, just watching last year, oh, they're going to be really, really good next year. And like you said, now they're at five. And yeah, they play Jackson this week. So
yeah.
We go get an early indication, you know. Like I said, we're waiting for, I guess, Jackson hasn't lost a regular season game in Missouri, I guess. It's been since been a while.
Obviously, 6 years, I think it is. I think it's like 6 years since they've lost something to a Missouri team.
Right, they've lost playoff games to Vianney and Webb there, but I think a regular season game against Missouri, and so that's and it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, Howell's going to bring a lot of folks. I think they're going to bring a ton of people. I mean, that's the once again week two. Very, you know, we're looking on the east side and CBC, but Friday night, you know,
we
got Jackson and Francis Howell, and kudos to Jackson to do that. You know, play these games.
Oh, without a doubt. And the one thing I said was, when's the last time we ever had even an inkling or a discussion that Jackson would be 0-2 to start the regular season? I don't think anyone – we haven't it's been a long time since anybody have even thought about that with the job that Brent's done down there. And we got to see him when he took over the Montgomery County program. Then, you know, the great things he did out there. And then he takes everything down south and just, you know, he's built a program down there. And it's been really cool to see and really cool to watch. And I love that he's playing a lot of teams from up here because that's getting his kids ready for the grind and the run.
Right, because that's what happened to Webb City last year. Webb City, I think, were 0-2.
They were 0-2,
They lost Mixa like they did this last week. I think Carthage got them week two or whoever. And They rolled. And that's the beauty of playing, you know, see where you are, see what you need to work on, and come playoff time, they won the rematch with Carthage and won the state championship. That's the fun part about all this.
Absolutely. And then you go down
Luther North too.
I was just going there. Talk about Luther North and Lutheran St. Charles, now in class three, both in the same district.
In the same district. How about that? Yeah. And did that, man. I think Luther North looking to bounce back this year. I think they go to Blair Oaks. So, I mean, that's fun. That's fun to go across, you know, different parts of the state and meet up too as well, you know, and that's going to be a lot of Blair Oaks is playing Maryville. Yeah. They get Luther North and, you know, Luther North, I know the behaves with Central and, but I think they're pretty excited about what they could accomplish this year.
Hey, in class two, I've already made the comment. You might as well just take when those districts came out and I saw Blair Oaks drop to class two. My comment was just take the trophy down the TED right now, hand it to them, say, here's your early Christmas present. And then somebody said, well, Lamar needed somebody to play pretty good. And it's just like, my, you know, once again, you could see Lamar and Blair Oaks line up in a state championship. I mean, and, you know, we talk about those teams, but, you know, there's a lot of local interest in those teams. Luther North traveling over to Blair Oaks. You know, Ted LePage, you know, the history he's had as a coach at Jeff City for many years and what he's done to the Blair Oaks program. I mean, there's just so many great storylines in high school football, just not here in the metro area, but all around the state of Missouri.
Sure, some of the great dynasties you see in high school sports are those areas, like you say, like a Webb City, like St. Genevieve Valley, you know, before they started getting pumped up, you know, especially in class one, they ruled, and obviously Lamar with 6-7 in a row and almost got another one last year, so that's fun to see, you know, and then the thing is you see these programs, and then you're skinning, obviously Jackson, recent years. I think the fact that you're seeing these teams play against St. Louis area teams now more in the regular season, you know, it's particularly Jackson, you know, Blair Oaks has done it. You know, Blair Oaks and CBC, they hook up scrimmage, I think, during the summer every year. CBC goes down there and they play a little so they stay familiar with St. Louis teams. And, you know, so it's good. It makes the state smaller and shows our players here that there's quality football being played, you know, all over the state.
No doubt about it. Last question for you. I know, and we're going to go over to SLU because Travis has got a great team coming back, a lot of local flavor on the Billikens basketball club. I know you've had a chance to see him at practice a couple times. You know, what are some of the thoughts about the junior, not the junior Bills, about the Billikens and some of the, you know, I think they're in store for a really, really good season, especially with some of the local talent that Travis Ford was able to recruit.
Very excited about it. First, obviously, it was an exciting season last year. I mean, you lose your best player and you still win 23 games. Yeah. And really, Yuri Collins, Gibson Jimerson, Francis Okoro, Fred Thatch. These are guys, TJ Hardaway, that really emerged and really lifted their games in Javante's absence. Now they're all coming back, and you get Javante back. We're deep. We got just a lot of, you know, and then the freshman class, we got a lot of, you know, like with Kellen Thames, Nick Kramer coming in, Larry Hughes Jr. coming in, then Sincere Parker's an excellent JUCO player from Mobley out of the Rockford area originally. It's just a lot of depth. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the schedule is tough, which is what you want to be when you got a team of this caliber. They got a chance to go overseas and get some extra practices and play some exhibition games. So I think we're all looking forward to this season. We really are.
No doubt about it. Well, Earl, I appreciate the time. I love talking to you. I know normally we get a chance, now that the season started, we talk at least once a week on the phone about some of the great things, but it's always great to get you on the podcast. And I know we'll do it again later on in the year once we get in the playoffs and all that, but, you know, take care of yourself. We missed the Earl time updates. We got to get Earl time going once again. We got to see where Earl's going, but thanks so much, buddy. Take care of yourself. And I know we'll definitely talk soon.
JP, always a pleasure. Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Earl Austin Jr., he's the best in the business when it comes to high school coverage here in the St. Louis area, and always love talking to him. We want to thank him for joining us. Next week, we'll start to dive into some soccer. We'll also dive into some volleyball. We'll get some of the great coaches that are, you know, opening up the season with some great, great things going on, not in football, but in all of our sports. For Earl Austin Jr., I'm Jim Powers. You've been listening to the Inside the Lines High School Sports Podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We'll talk to you next week.